talk about this, talk about the other. No, Johnny, let's talk about that.
Boom.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
How's that? Was that better?
No, it's okay. It was just all right.
It was just okay. And you can expect more mediocre level of communication throughout the rest of this podcast.
You can't.
Listener.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be haggard. You were great, John.
No, it's fine. Every time, this is episode 75. I've had to come up with 75 of those.
I'm sorry. Well, you know, you could let me talk first every now and again.
I don't know, man. You can't be trusted.
I worked with Dusty Slay last night, who's a comedian out of Nashville. He just did his second Tonight Show. He's really great. But he does this thing where he'll go, hey, he'll come out. The energy immediately goes to the floor. He'll go, hey, we're having a good time. And then he'll hold his hand up. We're having a good time. He goes, a lot of people like to ask the audience, are we having a good time? But I can't risk it. So I just make it a statement. So he just goes, we're having a good time.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, you know, it's a, I do have a good time when we do it, but, you know, launching, you know, Johnny, they say diving, the hardest thing is getting off of the cliff. You know what I'm saying?
Is that what they say?
I don't know if one says that, but I would imagine as the time I've jumped off a cliff, the hardest part
hitting
was.
The water is.
Well, yeah, but you have no choice.
Oh, right.
It's once we're in the air, but the choice, the choice you have to make to actually step off of the ledge.
75 times.
Right.
That's what we've done.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've landed wrong, way wrong.
Oh, absolutely. I've had to edit all that out.
Yeah.
So you were on the road this week.
I'm on the road tomorrow. I leave for Jacksonville.
Scenic. Exotic.
Exotic Jacksonville. And then I'm going to Fort Walton Beach from there because a buddy of mine, Marty Simpson, who we've had on the show.
Yeah.
Marty's getting ready for his dry bar taping.
Oh, nice.
So he's doing dry bar comedy special. Which is a series of clean comedy specials that are, you've seen the clips all over your Facebook. They're great. And most all the clips go viral. It's really cool. So it's a big opportunity for Marty. And I'm actually supposed to hear back about my drive-bar special too, but I don't know. We're still waiting.
Yeah.
But anyway, Marty's doing his on the 12th of October. So at this point, it's the thing of I need to go do my special as many times as I can. It's like reps.
Yeah.
Until I could do it while someone punches me in the face. I need to be able to do these jokes. And so he's taking any and all shows.
Yeah.
So he's doing this like dive bar in Fort Walton Beach. And he's like, are you anywhere near there? And I was like, I'm in Jacksonville.
It's his like dive bar
before.
Special.
It's his dive bar special. Yeah, yeah. So, which I've been doing those for a while. but anyway, so it worked out for us to hang out. So it'll be a fun couple days in Fort Walton Beach with Marty while he tries to get himself ready for his special. So that'll be
fun.
Are
you guys going to go to the beach together? Like, we lay
might.
Out?
Yeah, we put lotion, because it's sometimes you can't reach. Marty's hairy, so.
He doesn't need lotion. He's got all the hair.
That's right.
Cover.
He is totally protected from the sun. He is a furry. He's like a Robin Williams level furry.
Wow.
If you've ever seen. Yeah, he's furry. But no, we talked about it, because we'll be in Fort Walton Beach for like a day off. So we'll probably, I said, well, let's just, because we were going to go to Atlanta and meet there and then drive down together, because he's coming from Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah.
But I was like, let's just go to Fort Walton a day early and just be there and have seafood and actually be somewhere nice.
Oh, yeah. It'll be very nice this time of year.
So that's what we're going to do. And, yeah, it's hard to know. He'll want to go do a mic somewhere. He'll be like, let's go find somewhere to go up.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, let's not.
Yeah, let's
I'm
just
one of those guys
and...
that doesn't. Like, I like going up and trying new jokes places, but sometimes it's like, just take the day off.
Yeah.
I'm okay with taking a day off.
Swing a golf club or something.
Ooh, that would be good.
They have some par threes there, probably.
They do. Oh, that would be fun. You're right.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
So Marty and I were playing top golf, and you know, you have to aim at the targets and everything.
Right.
And he's kind of sporadic. But then he was like, let's do the one where it's just like you can hit anywhere. He didn't know that was a possibility.
Yeah.
Because we were playing the one where you have to hit blue for five balls and then hit brown target.
Right.
If you've never played top golf, listeners, it's fun. It's kind of like skee ball and bowling and golf mixed into one.
With somebody taking your drink and food order.
Right. So it's kind of got a little, bar and grill vibe to it as well.
Like a hint of skydiving. Just a hint.
It's a little Dave and Buster's for adults kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, so a hint of skydiving. Did you fall off the platform?
I was on the third level. got this new car from the settlement.
That's awesome.
Good.
So anyway, Marty starts like, well, you can just... So I told him there's the back wall that has these little pockets. If you hit in there, that's a lot of points. He's like, oh, okay, let's do that. He starts just cranking them.
You know, yeah, Marty, I was surprised he wasn't doing well in the others because he's an athlete.
I guess it's just he doesn't swing golf club enough.
Right.
You know, he's got back issues. But he started just cranking these shots. And he would shank one or two out of 10. But he drove, I mean, he hit the back wall like 8 times out of 10.
Wow.
I was like, all right.
Remember when we went for my birthday like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And I did, literally I couldn't score a point that night.
Yeah.
Remember that?
It was bad, John.
It was bad. It was really bad. And then you and John, actually John Carey stands up there and, dude, Carey could just
absolutely good.
Clobber the ball.
Well, he was another college athlete, though, so that's part of it. And he was baseball, so he's got that little swing motion.
Do you think we should talk about our general sense of bitterness against natural athletes? I mean, you know, you and I work hard. Well, we have worked hard. We thought about working hard, and we like to play sports.
But there's just not a lot of natural ability.
Well, yes. That would be an accurate statement.
Yeah, so somebody like Marty was born with this freakish leg. He can kick a, you know,
one of them.
He kicked just one leg. It's huge. The other one's all, you know, atrophied. But no, he kicked a 65-yarder in high school. He set the, it still holds. I think that record still holds in Spring Valley where
he grew
up.
That'd be a good golf drive for me.
Yeah, 65 yards. You're like, oh, we're doing straight down the. Remember when we were playing one time with some of the older guys from church? And so I go cut to my ball, and I hit a ball, and then Wyma, he comes up, and who goes to our church, goes, he's looking for his ball. I go, John, I think I hit Wyma's ball. And he's one of those guys that takes the rules of golf really seriously, you know? He took it easy on me, but I was like, I think I hit your ball.
Yeah, man, this was a good shot.
Yeah, I was like, and meanwhile, my ball was probably in the rough or whatever. There's no way it was. Right. I was like, look, I'm in the fairway. I didn't know I did so good. And I just run right up to it and hit it.
Did he just drop right where you were, basically?
I think so.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who never loses a ball, too. So he probably had like 3 for the whole round to play
with.
Needed.
Right. 3 gets me through one hole. It's like, yeah. Hey, going into the woods again. That's good.
It's no good.
Yeah. Spend a lot of time. You used to get mad at me as I go into the woods, and I'll spend a lot of time in there looking for it. Like, I really want to salvage this hole. And in my mind, for some reason, like, this is the moment I'm turning it all around.
Even if you do find it in the woods, you can't hit from the woods.
Oh,
usually.
I've tried, as you know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I broke a club over a tree. I think I was playing with you guys.
You bent it right around the tree.
Because I was like, I can hit this. And, of course, my follow-through just clobbered it right around. It just broke in half. So I don't have a 7-iron anymore. I didn't replace it either.
I lost my golf clubs.
You lost them?
I feel like maybe you have them.
You said that before, and that doesn't make any sense because I'm left-handed.
You had right-handed friends in town. Hey, I got my friend. We're going to go play golf. Can I borrow your clubs?
It didn't happen.
Have you even looked?
Yeah.
You did not.
I did look.
Didn't you go look with the scarlet thread equipment?
How about you've moved since then, and you need to blame yourself? It just got lost.
Well, you think
I
was going to just let them fall off the side of a truck? It was a 2-mile move. You know what I'm saying?
How inept you are.
Well, that's probably true.
John,
I am pretty inept.
I did you a favor if I did lose your golf clubs.
That's pretty. Well, the problem was Andrew gave me those clubs, and they were like the nice.
They're very special.
With the black dot.
What's that mean?
I don't know. Black dot Titleist, is that what it is? It's a thing. Oh, man, a bug.
That sounds like it's irregular.
A bug just crawled my coffee. Not drinking that anymore.
Oh, it's protein, bro.
Hey, speaking of.
That's a protein shake.
Did you see what I'm using now, by the way?
What are you using?
I'm using AirPods.
Oh, wait a minute. Those
except they're little... not. These are not Apple AirPods.
Oh, they're the knockoffs. The
Soundcore. They're actually really good. Well, they have the
Radio Shack?
They have the rubber. No, Amazon. They have the rubber.
They stay in your ear better?
Well, they'll like fully sound cancel if you want. And so, like, and they're really, really good.
So you
good
can
headphones.
Ignore your family completely.
Exactly. So I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to keep them or not, you know, but they have a little charging case and stuff. So, I mean, listener, I'm normally one that.
How much were those compared to Apple iPods?
Well, they had a $20 AirPods. Discount immediately on Amazon. I got these for like $60.
That's a marked.
AirPods are like $150.
Yeah.
So we decided, because I normally wear the LG Tones, which are basically like the oxen yoke.
It's a little cradle, yeah.
Yeah. And so, but people complain. You complain.
I don't complain.
Don't you not? Do you not?
I don't.
It's hard to keep up with.
I give up on you, John.
Yeah. But everyone's like, I can't hear you. I think it gets down into my collar.
Oh, when you're talking. I thought you meant complain about you having them.
No, they complain that they can't hear me. I don't care if they complain about me. Look, Johnny, I gave up on that a long time ago. The way I look, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's just going to let it ride.
But I'm saying, like, a lot of people were conscious early on of Bluetooth technology, of not being the guy with the one Star Trek Bluetooth in their ear.
Yeah.
Even while they're eating dinner.
I am that guy now. It's a white thing. I don't usually put both ears in because, again, it's sound canceling. So, like, you're in your own head at that point.
People always try to give me in-ear monitors at shows Like, I go to a lot of these big churches now, and they don't have any wedge monitors on stage. They'll be like, we got in-ears. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, in-ears won't work for comedy.
Yeah.
Because I need to feel the audience and decide, make decisions on based on what they're giving me.
Right.
So if you cancel them out, I'd be like, it would be the weirdest show ever.
It'd be great for your music part.
Yeah.
Because you don't use in-ears.
I don't like when the soundboard can control what I'm doing. Because if something goes wrong, now I'm going to get blasted in
my... I use custom molded in-ears for worship every week.
Yeah.
But the soundboard doesn't control. So we have an app with the board. You control your own mix.
Yeah.
So we have six different mixes. And actually, we had this conversation in staff yesterday in our programming meeting. So I took one headphone actually off because it just dangles, you know. And I just use one side.
Maybe if I did one, it would be okay.
Well, the deal is, and Dane was like, dude, you really should use two because, like, if our worship director is opening a song, reading a passage or something like that, sometimes she'll speak louder than she'll sing. She'll get real close to the mic. And I'm trying to stay on the click in my ear and play the intro for a long time.
Right.
And it begins to muddy it. You know, he's like, if you had two ears in, you could hear everything fine. But I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't feel like I'm at church then.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear everybody sing. I want to be present.
It's like you're watching it on TV.
Right. It's like I'm literally listening to the live stream.
Yeah.
And that's not the way I want, you know, I want to enjoy this. Not just enjoy, like I need that
ambient presence,
you know, mm-hmm. so not just audibly, but also spiritually.
Speaking of church stuff, let's talk about this because our church, I didn't know this because I miss a lot of Sundays, obviously, but. Mm. Let's talk about your eternal security. No, you guys have been doing this thing when you know a holiday weekend's coming up now that you go to like a Thursday service, especially summertime because you know a lot of people's are...
We're doing it twice a year right now. We do Memorial Day and Labor Day weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we go to Thursday.
And that was your idea, just doing
Actually,
that.
It was my brother-in-law's idea, who's a pastor in Cookeville. And he doesn't do it because then they were in a building where they were renting it, so they couldn't do it. But he hasn't done it yet.
So he gave you an untested idea,
right? And I have implemented it.
And you've implemented it.
It worked great. We tried it once. Memorial Day was awesome. So here's the deal: it's going to be a ghost town on Memorial Day weekend and Labor Day weekend,
right?
Because everyone's going to go
see 4th of July weekend too.
Yeah, well, but 4th of July is not always on a weekend.
That's true.
So that's the thing. We may do it as well if other holidays
start falling
on a day.
Would you do Thursday Christmas, John?
Andrew's got really specific things about Christmas
because it needs to be on that day,
right? He would be here like all 25 days of Christmas every night doing community.
He loves Christmas.
He loves it.
The angel
tree.
He wants
nothing more than to get up at like 4 a.m., go deliver presents to people in need, come in here and let's all bake something from scratch and serve it and then have communion till 9. Like that would be good Christmas for him. You know what I'm saying?
You know what it reminds me of? Speaking of ideas that were good on paper, and then implementing this idea has so far been good. Your Thursday service has been...
Well, yeah, I'll finish that and then tell me your other thing. So, yeah, it's actually been great because our thing is this, and we were having a conversation before. You were like, tell them what you told me before, like 2 years
ago.
Well,
the old way of thinking is like, don't give in to the consumer mentality of your people.
Right.
Make them feel bad for having stuff going on in their lives that's not church.
Right.
Like, you need to be here, or you're not... You know, it's like, so when we cater to them...
We're watering it down.
Or even people that go to two services, because they're like, well, we have a lot of people that go to the lake, so we need to do an 8 o'clock service so that we can still make sure there's an option for them. There's people that be like, that's not a reason to go to two service, you know.
Right.
Widen the net, in essence, of like, give them more options.
Like, but give them a wider net when they go to the lake. I got you.
That's right. Yeah. We got to catch these people and snare them and get their email addresses. And then that's when it starts up.
Sell it to the government.
Right.
No, there was that. And again, you know, I'm glad you said that. Number one, you know, I told you, I was like, well, some of those things we were just wrong about.
Yeah, you're just wrong.
Yeah, we were just wrong. But at the end of the day, we are not compromising things. We were just being uncompromising about the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
it's not the same thing as compromising your message when you're saying, like, I'm willing to meet you halfway and say, like, we get that you have family stuff out of town this weekend, so we're giving you a Thursday option now.
To be quite honest, our church was probably of the mindset in those days that Sunday was church.
Yeah.
And, like, right now, the people, what we believe is the people are church, and we are literally trying to disciple our people to be church every day.
Like this right is now, the church. This is the people. Open the door. There's the steeple.
Exactly.
That's not.
Yeah. And so it's a... your steeple's inside.
There's a steeple inside of every one of you.
They're not. It's a beacon of light. And so the idea for us right now is, I mean, there's so much happening with the church every day. And it's good that once a week that all of us can be together. That's really the idea. So if all of you are going to be out of town, like I have a family reunion on Labor Day every year.
Yeah.
I'm not here on Labor Day Sunday every year. And so it's like, is that not important? Am I not? Look, I want to be with the church this week.
Yeah.
I want to gather with them that once a week. And I gather with my other people daily and once a week in our small group. So at the end of the day, I would rather everybody be together. And so it's a, hey, we're going to have normal church this week.
Right.
It's
don't
just going to happen on
the
Thursday.
Day of the week your hill to die on.
Exactly.
Anymore. I think there should be a church supplies store called Steeples. I think it would be huge. You get all your, that's where you get all your communion cups.
You know what's so funny is when we say something and then I'm on one of my diatribes and I can see on your face that something's brewing over there.
No, nothing's
and you're
brewing.
Going through it in your head, like you kind of got a little smirk on your face, like
because
you're doing the how's this going to come out, the delivery. It was perfect.
No,
like, it was
John,
great. And
stop.
You were listening. You were multitasking. I think you're
I
with
was,
me.
I was listening, and
but
I,
that's hilarious.
No.
Steeples is right up there with.
Needs
your
to be a sponsor.
Testaments.
Needs to be a sponsor.
Yeah.
Well,
Steeples.
But no, here's what I was thinking. The best idea, because I was on staff here, for those of you who don't know.
Hey, interview in the Mount Juliet, Nashville area, by the way.
Huh?
If you're in Mount Juliet, Nashville area, and you want to come on Thursday night, this won't air till Monday.
This won't air until Monday.
Then go back in time. Yeah, man, yeah. Memorial Day, I'll give you a heads up. Sorry, go ahead.
So, when I was on staff here, I just started doing comedy. I was doing comedy about a year, and we had this idea, because at that point, Black Friday was still a big deal. We have a Best Buy right near us. So I was like, well, I was going down there and I'm good friends with Jeffrey Holland, who was our IT guy and AV guy at the time and still does work with us a lot. So I was like, okay, I'll go down there and camp with him. So he would go there to get like the $100 GPS or whatever the new Mac is or whatever it would be that year. That's the hot item. He would go to get that. He'd camp out. We'd get a tent. He'd bring his little Coleman. And I went there a couple of years in a row and froze to death with him. And I'd stay. I didn't stay all night each time because I just was like, I got a house with a wife. And
right.
So I'm going home. But I really was fascinated by the culture of that. And so we hatched this idea one year, me and our children's pastor, Roy Stone and Jeffrey. We hatched this idea because you were talking about pastor. What could we go give?
And I gave him a hard time, by the way. He's great. I mean, he loves it. He loves Christmas
so
much.
No, that's what I'm
saying.
That's the kind of thing we think, oh, let's do something out of the box. You know, we were a newer church at the time, so we're always like, how do we make ourselves known in the community more of like we're the out-of-the-box church?
Right.
So we decided we would do this Black Friday outreach. Now, we have a truck at the time that it's a box truck that the side of it folds down on a winch and it's like a stage now.
Right.
And you can set up musical equipment in there. And our band did shows in that truck.
Right. Before we had ever bought that truck, we used to play on it.
Right.
And then our church bought it from the organization that used to own it.
Yeah. So it's this GMC box truck and it's nice. You know, it's whatever. It's a cool thing.
It wasn't nice, but yes.
I was like, we'll roll that truck up. We'll park it there overnight. And then when midnight comes, everybody's camped out. What a captive audience.
Yeah.
We'll go give out donuts and hot apple cider and everything. Yeah. To all the people who are waiting. Because there were different places around the city that had Black Friday lines. So we did that too. But our main goal was we were going to do this Black Friday outreach. We're going to give away stuff. And we had David Altizer, who did magic, was like, you can do magic.
Yeah.
And I'll do some comedy. Because, hey, they're all sitting there anyway. You know, what better... And again, when you start doing comedy, you kind of think that there's a weird naivete / boldness. You're still scared, but you're also like, look, let's try this. And so the big day comes and we have, 100 dozen donuts and we have whatever, just cauldrons of cider and hot chocolate.
Cauldrons. And that was your first.
And
it's the witch's brew.
And we're rolling around town. Giving donuts to people who don't know why we're giving them a donut and are weird. Some of them were weirdly suspicious of it. They're like, what? And
did you inject something into this?
But it was
only
weird.
Love.
There's only
it's
love.
It's a love-filled
that's the
donut.
It is.
Yes.
But so we get to the time it's going to be time. We've got a, we've had like a big screen TV in there that's got like a big logo on it that's hanging from a stand. We let the side of the stage down, you know, and here it is. We get on this speaker and everybody kind of looks up half in a daze because it's 1 a.m. and they are not happy.
Well, they're probably trying to sleep.
They are. They're not. They're like, what? We're trapped because we're in line. We can't leave.
It's everything you said. They're a captive audience, but.
Yeah. It's like we may as well have turned fire hoses on them. It was not a good experience. I didn't go first. I kind of went, hey, guys, I want to welcome. And then I handed over to Dave. Dave was like, I'll go first. So he did a couple of card tricks. And again, they're 100 yards.
Excuse me, sir. You over there. No, you. No, you. What?
No. It was awful. Because you're not getting any feedback because everybody's huddled and freezing. It's, you know, it's
right.
November 26th. It's, you know, it's 1 degree or whatever it was. And I'm just like dreading. It's getting ready to be my turn. And I've probably got at that point 20 minutes of material. And I'm going to go try.
And you don't really understand how rooms necessarily work.
Well, and we're not in a room. It's
outside, a distant audience, bad lighting, middle of the night. And they don't want to be there.
They don't want to be there.
They didn't pay to come.
And they don't want me to be there.
No.
And I get ready to get on the mic. Dave kind of muffles through his. And he did fine. You know, Dave's a confident kid.
Sure.
But he knew it wasn't going well. He's just kind of laughing. I'm laughing in the corner like, this is bad. Jeffrey's like, this is real bad. Right as I get ready to go up, a police officer comes over and goes, you can't be here. You can't be doing this. You don't have a permit. Shut that generator off. And we did.
It sounds like you're about to go somewhere. And that's when
he stopped the show. He saved.
You've never been more relieved.
I was so relieved.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, well, guys, I was getting ready to go up here and do these jokes. I was so excited that I did not have to go up there and bomb.
Wow.
Because I got to say I would have done it. Yeah. Like, man, I was getting ready to.
Wasn't that like the inspiration for your cease and desist tour?
It wasn't. It was the you ain't from around here tour. You don't belong here, boy.
Captive audience tour.
Yeah, man. And I've done prisons.
And no one thought about permits.
And the prison people were way more receptive.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that was a way captive more. Audience. Yeah. These were not. No, this was capitalism captive.
It was the best. But I'm telling you, when we talked about it on paper, we had cups made. We had paper cups. Thousands of them made for this event.
Remember that there's
with our logo and our website on them.
One will resurface every once in a while.
Yeah, like
We'll find a sleeve around here of them every once in a while and use them for an event. Yeah,
along with a deflated volleyball from the MJ5K race.
Most of it's all gone now.
That's good.
But you will.
But yeah, that was one of those ideas where I like that our church had out of the box ideas. But that was the one. It needed more committees. Like, churches normally don't need more committees. That one needed, like, an extra meeting or two.
We needed somebody to put a bunch of bureaucracy into that.
Yeah, it was bad.
Well, I'm usually the guy that does that. I'm usually your bureaucracy guy.
But are you a no? Do you say no a lot?
I don't like... I want a culture of yes, but I am one that thinks... So, okay, again, not to analyze everybody, but it's necessary to understand how it all works. So they'll roll your eyes, listener. I'm an Enneagram 6, which means I have a committee inside of my head.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly thinking about what could go wrong.
Yeah.
That's the way that I think.
I do that.
Because I believe that you are a 7 with a strong 6 wing, which is why you and I'm a 6 with a strong 7 wing. So you tend to see everything as good in general. Well, put it this way. You reframe things as fun. Like you'll find the positive in it. Like, oh, it was fine. It was fun. Yeah, it was a good. Like, you don't look at that and go, I quit comedy because of it.
Right.
You reframed it into, well, that was an experience that was interesting, and I can tell jokes about it later. Like, you know, so Andrew's the same way. He's a 7. Immediately something goes wrong, reframes it as great. John Kerry, our good friend, 7. Immediately something goes wrong, reframes it as positive. So, but I am like, I'm forecasting.
Yeah.
And so. And I can get way too far into that, almost like fearfully forecasting, you know, and find all that could go wrong. So if we're in a meeting and somebody has like this really great out-of-the-box idea, I want those.
Right.
I just want you to tell me all the answers to the possible forecasted problems.
Yeah, so, and I'm saying, yeah, and when you're like that, you're accused a lot of being contrarian, for its own sake. And it's like, no, but there are questions to be answered.
Yeah, if you can't answer them, then I'm protecting you. We probably shouldn't do this, you know. And so we do, and everybody's, I think, in a little healthier mindset. I'm less likely to shoot things down, and they're more likely to want to talk out the right details. Because there was a time we were very much fire ready aim, you know, like, yeah, that's a great idea, and we'll just go. And so, you know, oh, man, we forgot who's going to take care of the kids. Oh, we forgot we don't have enough food, you know. And so, and Julie on our staff, she's also a six, so we both do that. You know, we tend to look at what will make it better, but I don't want to be a dream killer, or I don't want to throw wet blankets and all
those
things. You know, I just wanted to. I want to know that. Show me the list and how we answer all these questions.
Oh my gosh!
You know, you don't.
I think no, it's fine, but I do. I wish I was less. I feel like I am. I do have a little bit of contrarian in me, because that's part of how you write jokes,
right?
Honestly, and so it's made me more of that. Like, if the popular opinion or the popular viewpoint is this. Well, the funny thing to do is to take and champion the other way.
Yeah.
And so I've gotten used to doing that. Like, oh, everybody thinks this, but you're not thinking of this. And now it's like crept into my everyday philosophy.
Right.
And so that's not fun to be married to. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, when you take a sledgehammer to... That's like what you do. You take a sledgehammer to the foundations.
Yeah, it's deconstruction. Like, comedy is a lot of deconstruction of, you know... From something as simple as, like, why do we shake hands, you know,
right.
Instead of just accepting a social convention like handshaking or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it can be fun to do, but then after a while you're like, just shake hands. Stop it. What are you doing? You're being a weirdo. And it's true. I am a weirdo. But I definitely deconstruct what in my head of, like, this is how this will go wrong. I was doing that show last night, and it was a really weird show. It was a show I got added to last minute by Dusty, who just did the Opry for the third time. So he's got all these country music friends now. And so it was a country music singer-songwriters doing songs in the round with a couple of comics on the show as well, and Dusty. So he's like, hey, you do music in your show. Would you want to be a part of this? And I was like, sure. He goes, well, what would you do? And I was like, I do pieces of songs, and it's kind of a fun little thing I do. He goes, cool. But the whole day I was like, some of the stuff I do is kind of like making fun of country music, and I don't want it to come off this way.
Right.
So I was foreseeing, like, I'm going to bomb. This is going to, and I probably should have said no to this. And so I'm already in my head about it.
Right.
And then we started off, the crowd was kind of flat. They kind of didn't know what was going on. They were low energy. And then I was like, okay, this will be bad. But it was actually really good. And then when the singer-songwriters guys came out, there were guys on stage last night. I wish I could remember their names because I sound like a jerk. But there was the guy who wrote Red Solo Cup.
Yeah.
Did a song. He did that, but he did another song that was a really funny song. But all of them had songs that they had written for, like, this one guy had 10 number ones.
Jeez.
A couple of them for Toby Keith and other artists. And he was... You know, and he's a big guy. He goes, what did he say? He was so funny. He said, I started out trying to be an artist myself. And he goes, after a while, you're like, you know what? I'd rather just get a cut by these other artists so I can have carbs. He's a big guy, you know? He's like, why? He goes, for my first trick, I made this stool disappear. For my next trick, you know? And, but he was so funny. He had a really good singing voice, too.
Yeah.
And, but he did three or four songs that I recognize, and I'm not a country music guy.
Yeah.
But then he did parodies of them.
Of
his own songs.
Wow.
So he goes, because he had one song he wrote for Toby Keith, and it was called Hottie, I think.
Yeah.
And it was about all these perspectives. And they're like, what about the big girls? You're making big girls feel bad. And he's like, all right. So he did another version called Fatty. And it was amazing. And he's a big guy, so it was just, it landed, but... It was just funny to think about that he foresaw, well, this is where you could go if you were writing a parody of this, and it was his own song.
That's crazy. So, how many people have written parodies of their own songs? That's
I'm telling you, all three of those guys up there did versions of their own songs.
That's like Inception.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And you'd have to, like, be successful. It takes a little pretension, probably, to think, you know what, this is a parody. Yeah.
Well, the one guy, the Red Solo Cup song, which he admits is a silly song that never should have got made. He goes, I was as floored as anybody that it got cut. And he said, we wrote it. I wrote it with some buddies, and then we went down and did it in one take at a studio on Berry Hill. And then literally, is it Toby Keith that did it?
I don't remember.
I think so. He goes, Toby Keith came in and just sang over our track, which never ever happens in Nashville. And he was, as he was doing it, he would stop every few lines and go, yeah, when we wrote that one, we were like, that's just a placeholder. He goes, that's what you call a placeholder in the music industry, where you go, ba, 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 and you put something there, and then you come back to it. And he goes, and we just never did. And he goes, I'm still floored that that line's in the song, because it's a dumb line. I was like, that's so funny to me.
Well, a dumb song can have dumb lines.
Yeah,
like
I guess.
If you set the standard low. It's like
they were so nice, though, and it's just weird, because basically, even that, from what that guy said, he was basically saying, look, I got to have the mansion, and I get to eat what I want. You know, when you're a songwriter that gets people to cut your songs, that's kind of the dream, right?
Oh,
you don't
man.
Have to be in the public eye and put up with all the nonsense.
It's a little bit like being a collaborator. It really is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't have any of the pressure of this book release, but hey, I get to enjoy all the, you know,
yeah.
I mean, that's, it's not a bad deal.
Yeah. They seemed plenty pleased with themselves.
Well, that's a bigger, much bigger market, obviously. Than
yeah.
The country music market, man. If you do get cuts.
Yeah. The one guy who was running the show with Dusty is a husband and wife duo called Thompson Square. I didn't know them, but evidently they have a ton of hits.
Okay.
And he was so funny, but he did a song. He was reading it from his phone that he had written that day. Like, they write songs every day.
Yeah.
The funniest line, though, the night when the three guys were in the round, and they know each other, and they were just busting chops, just like comedians would do. And some of them were funnier than others. The big guy was the funniest guy by far. He was like Larry the Cable Guy with country music hits, basically.
Wow.
He could actually play a guitar. And so he had all this banter that was so funny. But they're waiting while the other one sets up their song they're getting ready to do and then plays it. And so when it gets back around to him the second time, the big guy, he goes, I wrote this song while I was waiting for him to finish setting up his song. I was like, that's the perfect burn.
That's great.
But evidently, that's just the thing, man. You get together, you get in a room with these guys, you're like, let's write three songs today, or let's write a hit song today. Mm-hmm. The idea of that blows my mind.
That's what they do. I mean,
because jokes still feel like a little bit magic to me.
Yeah.
Like when I come up with a joke, I'm like, it feels like I just pulled it out of the air, and I'm still amazed by it.
Yeah.
Especially when it works. Because you always have that period where you go, oh, this will land. And then you still don't quite know, but you hope.
Yeah.
And then when it does land, you're like, I am a wizard.
I feel like observing your creative process, you are certainly not one who cranks out all the reps trying to make sure 1 out of 100 is going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Like, you're more the guy who waits for inspiration.
Yeah. You know, and I don't like staring at a blank screen on my computer all day.
Right.
It's just not
Doesn't
the
do
way
it
I do
me.
It. And some people can do it that way. And maybe if I did half and half, if I did some inspiration and some, like, I'm going to sit 3 hours aside to write today.
Well, you used to rent an office just to get out of your house and go, you don't have an office anymore, do you?
No.
Yeah. And you would, you know, I don't know. How many jokes did you write in that office that worked?
It was weird. It was hard. What it helped me do, honestly, was I had like little cards and I would thumbtack them up because I was getting ready for my DVD taping at the time.
Yeah.
It was like 6 months away. So that's when I started renting the office. And I couldn't do that in my house where I could just write on the walls or put thumbtacks everywhere. And I had the whole wall was covered and I could move the little cards around.
Yeah.
Or add things. This is not done. I would have columns like, this is just an idea right now. This is just a premise. And then I would move it over when I thought, okay, I've worked on this 3 or 4 times. It's becoming something. And then when it was ready for the DVD, I would put it in the third column. And so I waited until everything was in the third column, and then we shot the DVD. And then I felt like I didn't really need the office anymore because I was going there and I was killing time, or it didn't feel like it was a productive thing.
Yeah.
And I felt like I could do the same. And we bought a different house, and I was like, well, I could just make one of these rooms in my house into a thing.
But there is something about, like, even... I do write at home some, but I just going out to Starbucks or sitting at a coffee shop or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I even have things I take with me to set up little lap desk and, you know, stuff where I'm Bluetooth.
So you're that nightmare at Panera.
Well, I mean, I have to because I have this. I write so much my shoulder will start cramping if I'm doing up here on my keyboard. So I mean, I just do.
So you brought your MyPillow with you. Your these booths need lumbar support.
There's one coffee shop I go to, and there is a massage place right next door.
Yeah.
And I had this bad, like, I wrote, I think it was The Boy Wore Dead. I'd been writing so long, I went over there next door, and this dude, it was just like a shoulder massage. And this little guy, man, like, I don't know. It hurt so bad. I had this knot.
And
I couldn't really see what he was doing, obviously, but I envisioned.
He was Mr. Miyagi. He was rubbing his hands together.
I don't know, man. I envisioned him, like, just literally somehow levitating with nothing but his elbow holding up the weight of his body into my knot on my. It was great in some ways, but it hurt really bad.
I don't like that.
It's like, hey, that's not a little less. You know,
I've never had a massage.
Oh, they're great, but Laura loves like the deep tissue, like cause bruises.
The harder, yeah,
yeah. Not me. I'm like, no, I'm straight up Swedish massage. Like, give me the. Yeah, just
what's the difference? So Swedish is less.
Yeah, that's just like what you a normal your wife's rubbing your shoulders kind of massage.
You're making your hands do this. I'm picturing you going, Flargen. It's like a
bring me some Swedish fish while I'm getting this massage. Yeah, I don't.
That's a joke I wrote one day that made Evan laugh, who was my assistant at the time. I just wrote it in like Sonic Drive Thru to make him laugh, and I have a video of making him laugh doing it. And it's one of my favorite videos because he has a big laugh.
Yeah,
and it was. What is it? What is it? Hang on a second. It was, where does the Swedish chef believe you go when you die?
Where?
Purgatory! So that's a stupid movement. Swedish chef's Catholic, if you didn't know.
Oh, that's great.
He's Swedish, but he's Catholic.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyway, I don't know where we are for that. But anyway, so that was a cool thing to be a part of. But yeah, you're right. I like... the idea of, like, I need to go have a writing cabin.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has that dream. John Acuff talked a little bit about that. The dream of the writer's cabin that you can spend 3 months in a year. He goes, it's such a myth. Like, just write with what you have. The idea that I'll get to a place in life one day when I'll have this thing, and then I'll create a lot of things. You have to learn to create with what you're given.
I agree. I've dreamed about it for years.
Yeah. You might be the guy who, if you had a cabin, you'd churn out 8 books a year. I don't know that, but...
Well, I know this year, apparently, if things continue, I will have written more than ever in my life. So, like, I was had a breakfast with somebody this morning. It was really crazy to think about that between 2011 and 2018 or 19, I guess up to this year, I had 8 published books that I wrote.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's too many.
Well, I mean... That's you know, averaging about 1
John,
year.
You're saturating the market.
It's true.
You know
true.
When they talk about how, like, Samuel Jackson was in every movie?
Right.
At some point? Now it's Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
You're that.
I'm that in The Collaborator.
You're that in Lifeway
Again,
bookstores.
See previous conversation about nobody cares who The Collaborator is. That's what's
true.
So great.
No
I can put out books at the same time. I have. Same time. No one cares. I mean, I'm just The Collaborator, you know. I'm just the hired gun, Johnny.
The Collaborator sounds like a Samuel Jackson
the
movie.
The Collaborator. Yeah,
he's
very,
the Collaborator.
Yeah. I look like, who's the guy who's the Equalizer?
Who's the Denzel?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, not that.
Oh, you're talking about the old show, The Equalizer? The little old white guy?
Wasn't he British?
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking about, gosh, who's the guy, the action hero, who's the villain on Fast and the Furious in the later movies?
Jason Statham?
Thank you, yes. I could be like that because I've got bald and... I look just like
Oh, yeah,
him.
You look just like Jason Statham. It's a great, it's a great analog
for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody's got self-awareness.
No, it
Are
wasn't.
Are you positive you want to be an artist?
I literally meant the haircut we share, and The Collaborator was a cool name for a movie. Anyway, no, I understand. I don't have MMA skills or any of those, or any skills, really.
No.
But so this year right now, I've written 2 already, and I'm in a third right now, and I have a fourth before Christmas that I need to get done. So I will have written 4 this year, and I only wrote 8, you know, in terms of published before that. So for me, like, it is coming down to this, like, I just have to write in spare time. I just do. So I'll go to the office, you know, when my office day is done, then, you know, if I have 30 minutes in car line, if I need to sit there in traffic, pull my computer out. Like, I need to do it. And it's really, it really, Acuff's right about that. It is doable in that respect. Although I do sense, I always want to make sure, I feel like opportunities that come, I always ask God to not send them or to send them as he sees fit, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I don't want to spend all my time chasing something. It just seems like they go faster right now. And I'm working with some great people who are giving me good stuff on research. Part of that is technology's increased. I can get things transcribed faster now, much, much faster and easier. I have better tools that are always emerging. But I mean, to that respect, I think about, you know, what I think about is not that it's not the writing cabin anymore. What I think about, and this may really happen, is the writing cruise, because I do get a lot done. I've written almost a whole book on a cruise ship one time. But I try not to do it right now if I go somewhere on a trip, because I want to be present with my family. But I want to set a trip aside for that reason.
You want to go by yourself on a cruise?
No. I want my family to go, because you can't write 12 hours straight. Like, you could, but it wouldn't be good.
Diminishing returns, right? And whatnot.
So you need to, like, I need to run, I need to eat.
Which is the name of my movie, by the way.
Diminishing returns. That's good, yeah. Played by?
Danny DeVito. Yeah.
But the idea would be like, hey, I'm going to take my wife and daughter, and y'all know that I have to work. But would we not rather me be working on a cruise ship? You know, so let's get a cheap cruise. We'll find one of those last minute
deals. Sounds like you're already defending your own. Like, okay. Guys, if you're going to not have me raise you, would you rather be doing that on a Disney cruise?
We get up.
I'm going to ignore you. Where do you want to be ignored at?
But like, hey, if we get up, we can have breakfast together at the Windjammer. You know, and then we can go. I can sit by the pool next to my wife with a computer. I've done
it
before.
Fine.
We can write, and then I can go take a run. We can eat lunch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we can go to, like, again, food's about everything, but
I just hope Sadie's keeping good notes, too, for her therapist.
Oh, absolutely. We've already set aside a whole account, you know, to help pay for
therapy. But at least we made it the Windjammer.
Listen, man, my kid.
Oh, she's great. She's fine. You're a good dad. You're a good, good father.
It's who I am. It's like I told the church Sunday, look, man, all people are broken. Sadie, I'm not going to fix her by being the best dad in the world. I'm just trying to.
It's good that you've let yourself
point her to the one who can help heal her brokenness and do my best not to add to it to let her know she's loved. You know what I'm saying? So, John Driver is not going to be a good enough dad for Sadie not to need a therapist. We could all go talk to a therapist and it'd be great.
That's true. I think I need to do that.
It feels good.
Let's make an appointment.
I'm a fan of counseling. I'm just not a fan of counseling in isolation. I think you need to go with people who can also help you through your stuff, so that once you've paid the counselor and you go back to your real life alone, that somebody's going with you who's not getting paid. I just think it's good to walk
so
out with others.
So I shouldn't pay my friends.
Right. If you're paying your friends, So,
I've been doing this way.
I haven't been getting. Who are you paying? Because I feel like I should be on the list if this is going to happen.
This is your payment. I do this podcast with you. You're welcome, friend.
Appreciate that. Hey, do you ever use Uber Eats?
I've used it a couple times.
I used it yesterday for the first time.
It's a great way to go, like, hey, here's a $15 meal. What about $30?
Dude, it wasn't that much.
What did you get, though?
I got Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
The wings themselves cost $13, which is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And then I paid $19 total.
Yeah, but is it like a new coupon or something?
No.
Okay.
No,
just like the first delivery is like $5 usually.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I opened the apps, first time I used it.
That might be that. It's a coupon.
And it's not a far delivery. It's just over here.
That's true. Sometimes it's about distance.
Yeah, so.
I did it at a hotel and I was getting PJ's Brewhouse. They have those great pizzas.
Yeah.
And I got a pizza delivered to my room because I'd been traveling all day. It's like, I'm not going back out. And they brought it. And I swear, I think it was $35.
Wow.
And I was just like, this was a lot.
Wow.
But I didn't have to go out.
It's true.
But I feel like a heel for eating $35. And I ate the whole pizza probably too.
That's how you got them back.
Well, I can't waste this.
I'll
now.
Show you. Give myself heart disease. Yeah. Then you'll know.
Yeah. Everything's delivery now. Everything's, because I'm thinking about, like, everything's convenience and apps and, I don't know. It feels like we're getting more disconnected, though. Like people that, you know, because we don't want to go around people. Or we don't want to wait. Like even with Chick-fil-A, they have the app where you can have your order ready.
Yeah.
You pull into the line.
Yeah. I don't know if it's about avoiding people. I do think that the population's obviously growing worldwide and in Nashville, obviously. So
you just want your chicken sandwich and you want it now.
So there's more congestion to get there.
We talked about the chicken wars last week, but it's cranked up. And I didn't have all the information when we talked about it.
I had no information.
So the information is Popeye's introduced a new chicken sandwich.
Okay.
They've never had a chicken sandwich. I think what they had before was like a chicken biscuit.
I mean, they're a chicken company. Is it really that revolutionary that you took one of your products and put it on a bun?
Yeah. Right. Well, it's a patty, though. Instead of like, let's put two of our chicken fingers on it, like we said Zaxby's does. Yeah. This is a true chicken sandwich. And it's fried. I mean, it's a battered. They dunk it in their Louisiana spicy batter, I guess. So it was a new thing. And so evidently they're running out. Like, it's a huge deal. And so that's the idea, is Chick-fil-A was like, we're still best, you know.
Did they come out and say that, or is this not?
Well, I think Popeye started it.
Isn't this a populist movement?
They threw the first punch.
Was it really, though, or did it not start by dumb people like us who are going to talk about it?
Well, we need something to...
Social media and podcasting.
Like, you need to eat neither, probably.
Right.
The people who are arguing most about it probably need to eat neither fried chicken sandwiches.
Chicken's such a healthy meat, and we find a way. We really, really do.
So
let's throw a bunch of bread on it, and let's drop it down in oil and fry it.
Oh, my gosh, though, John.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It is good.
But, yeah, so that was how it all started. So now it's like... You know.
Did you go to the fair, by the way?
I didn't go.
You didn't go to the Wilson County Fair?
I missed it. I was out of town.
You know, it's like one
and
of the best.
And it was so hot. It's one of the best fairs in the nation, right?
It
as
is.
Far as like, if you rank, they rank state fairs.
Yeah.
Is it the safest, though, John?
Are there parts
missing, left over after they put the rides together?
Well, you know, there was an incident where there was a fight that broke out. It was kind of a big thing.
Yeah. People thought that there was a gun.
And then somebody yelled gun or something. Yeah. I don't think that it. I don't. If you're listening and you're from Wilson County, I'm sorry. From what I heard, I think it was blown a little out of proportion, and everything
right.
was fine.
People started running, and
but I mean, if you hear a gun in
a
crowded
hurt?
Area, you're going to run. I don't know. I think that they made a few arrests, and that was I think it was some dudes fighting. But no, we went twice actually, because we had a friend who was in one of the pageants. They still do pageants there.
Okay,
you know, and
like a beauty pageant.
I don't know if they call it that, but it's
a beauty
they're,
pageant.
They're in a dress. And
they know ugly kids in it,
so I don't know. But they also do all the, like, if you go to the
John's
expo
like,
center.
I don't see beauty. I don't see.
Well, as a father of an 11-year-old, I'm just like.
Right. The pageant's weird anyway.
And I was very happy for the family that was up there. It's great, you know. I just also don't want to see a girl disappointed over what? Like, you know, what do we. So anyway, it's fine. Don't get me started on beauty pageants. I'm not against them. I'm not telling you if you did them.
Why do you love toddlers and tiaras?
I'm just telling you.
So much.
I would like my daughter to know she's beautiful regardless of what the judges' scores
no
say.
No matter what they say.
Right.
Words can't bring her down. Go ahead. was there a talent competition, or was it just like you walk out in a dress?
They walk out.
Yeah.
And they tell you, you know, where you're from, what they do, all those kind of things. So.
But they have questions of like, what would you do in the Middle East?
No, they did not have any of those that I heard.
But I guess an 11-year-old, that'd be a lot.
But I went over, they have a big art display.
Yeah.
They have vegetables. Like, it truly is.
Was it a vegetable pageant?
It was,
would you say?
They brought the vegetables out.
In outfits.
And they're like, oh, this vegetable enjoys water, sunshine. But it was really cool seeing, like, because Sadie loves to go through where the chickens are and the pigs are. Like, everybody's truly displaying their livestock, their best vegetable, their
isn't there
best
a birthing,
drawing.
Isn't there a birthing area?
There really was. They had a little lamb born.
It's very 4-H club.
So they come over the intercom like, hey, don't be sure to visit our birthing center where Mary just gave birth to whatever. You want to go see the new baby lamb, you know, kind of thing. And it is like this, I mean, there's literally, I think, what? The attendance is like 300,000 people.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Like, it's huge.
There's pig races, and there's...
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And we, of course, are still eating keto. Okay, let me say this. My wife's eating keto.
So you went to the pig races and then had bacon on a stick with...
I didn't have bacon on a stick this time, but we did have one fried oatmeal cream pie.
Oh, wow.
First
that's,
day.
That's
that was
out.
Great. We
You're
kind of split
keto.
It between three of us, you know?
That knocked me out of keto when you ate that.
Well, then the next day, because we'd had it once, and it does. That's the bad part if you start.
Yeah.
Is now it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, you're like, well, now that I'm out,
they had the,
let's have a weekend bender.
They had Tennessee's only certified micro creamery.
Okay.
In a food truck.
Not that there's anything wrong with a micro brewery.
Anything
John.
Wrong with it. I just said the wrong word because I'd never heard micro creamery until I saw it on the side of the truck.
What is a micro creamery?
That means they make their own ice cream.
It's like a tiny
like
person
right
in
there.
There.
But it was like,
they enjoying them out there. Yeah, and they shut the lid on the guy. He's down in there.
I'm freezing in this hole. Anyway, it was a really good ice cream. And then they put it between these two homemade cookies. I got this ice cream sandwich, like a chocolate cherry between chocolate. That probably put about 2 pounds on me right there.
No.
So
it John.
Was, but I, it cost so much money, I had to eat it all. It's just kind of like the pizza. You know what I'm saying?
You got to do it.
So I did.
You did the right thing. But that's a normal, like fair food is always like on the cutting edge of experimental, like what can we get fat people to eat? Like fried butter.
Oh yeah!
The first time I ever heard about the donut cheeseburger was at a fair.
They had donut cheeseburgers,
and
here.
Then the first time I ever they had fried Kool-Aid. What?
I don't even know what
is
do
fried Kool-Aid.
No, that's ridiculous.
That just sounds like you're taking advantage of fat people now.
Right. And you're just putting words together.
You're just throwing stuff out there. There used to be a comedian, Bert Kreischer, he would talk about that, about how, like, Applebee's is just making menu items for fat people now. They're just like, hey, we took chicken and put cake in it. Are you in? Am I in? Let's go.
Dude, it's so, we really do enjoy it. She's been going since, we've taken her since she was like 3. And so, like, Sadie, when she was young, used to be like, well, Sadie, what's your favorite holidays? She was like, Christmas,
right.
Thanksgiving, and Wilson County Fair.
It's its own thing.
Right there with her, you know, and so.
But, I mean, this year it was, the thing I heard about, that Curry told me about, because she went with Tabby, she said they have a dill dog. Have you seen this?
Yes.
It's a pickle with a hot dog.
We almost got one.
They hollow out the pickle, put a hot dog in it, and they batter it.
They batter it and fry that. That's why we didn't get it. It was battered. So we kind of avoided.
You could have eaten a regular. You can make your own at home now. Get the big pickles.
This is like a lot. We need a drill for that.
A drill bit. You're making your own. That's a weird thing. You need a router.
It's
to
amazing
make food.
What you're willing to spend when you're there. It's like you go by the ATM and you get out $100 because you know that you're about. And that's the only time you ever go. I go to the ATM once a year before I go to the fair
because they don't take any.
You never know.
Right. You don't want to get there and not be able to get your funnel cake.
Right. Oh, Sadie did get a, a funnel cake, but I can't remember the flavor. It was a special, the red cake.
Oh, a red velvet cake?
Yeah, the red velvet.
You had red cake. And cake, and you couldn't think of velvet. It's a red cake. That's all I know. It's real smooth and silky tasting. Like suede. It's like a suede feeling.
I write books for a living. I come up with words. It's hard sometimes.
It is hard.
But I did have some of that, too. Yeah, listen, here's the deal. I'm just going to say this. I eat keto, and then someone's going to argue this. I eat keto probably 97% of the time. Mm-hmm. But I'm probably not losing any more weight, you know.
Well, you're at your goal weight. You're at your ideal weight.
Yeah, but so I still think this is the best way to live. I don't have as many sugar drops and all those things where I'm, you know. But I also, if I see something, I may have a bite of it or have, I mean, you know, and so technically, though, I've been told, then you're not keto. Like, if you ever do that. And I'm like, okay, well, then I'm low carb. Like, what do you want to call it?
I guarantee you all your labs are good, except you have high cholesterol, don't you?
That's it. Everything else looked great. High cholesterol.
Nobody's ever died from high.
No. Wait. Listen, but here's the deal. I had high cholesterol before this because I have a familial thing going on. And so at the end, the bottom line is this. Keto works for me. I don't work for it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in slavery to it. You know what I'm saying?
You preach.
Like, it works for me.
This is the best TED Talk.
Is this great?
I have ever heard.
This is so good. Keto TED Talk.
Keto works for me.
It does. It's the point. It's not my boss.
Right.
I tell it what to do. And right now,
it's your body. You can do what you want.
I wanted that.
You wanted some oatmeal cream pies.
I wanted that sandwich with that.
And then maybe another one.
Maybe. See, that's the difference. In the old days, I would have had all that times 5.
Yeah.
You know, I just would have kept going, no thoughts. Well, it's just a fair. So, I mean, I would have gone out there and I would have bought 5 fried things throughout the night and kept going, you
know? That's what I would have a hard time. I would do keto for a week and then I would go crazy and I would have 5 Little Debbies in a row.
Right. Not the cakes.
You
literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Debbie. She gone. She was dating this micro creamer across the way. And so it was terrible for both of them. He's stuck in there.
You can batter.
I never understood why they put someone. Okay, so here's the deal. If you know Star Wars culture, okay.
And I do.
Like, and you go to, like, these places where they sign the Comic-Cons and things.
Right.
You get to meet the guy that played Darth Vader, who passed. You get to meet Chewbacca. He passed this year. Peter Mayhew. It's a big deal. He's signing. He's Chewbacca. He's in the costume.
Yeah.
Then one time I saw some Comic-Con, because I knew a guy who was a Star Wars nut. He's like, I go, who signed this? He goes, R2-D2. I go, there's a dude in that can? Why? Like, he doesn't have lines.
In the can. Maybe he's steering. Maybe it's like a remote control.
You're telling me in the late 70s, there's not a remote control technology. You had to put a little person in there to swelter.
I didn't know there was someone in there.
There's been somebody in there.
Every time.
I don't know if in the new ones, like there's not somebody in BB-8 probably.
No, I'd say not. rotating like a hamster in a wheel.
Gerbil. Yeah, a ferret's in there. They're like, yeah, it's Bob. We love him. He's good.
You hold him real still. He'll give
or it's
you
like
autograph.
The mascots where it's like Ugga 18 because they've, you know, all right. The Uggas have died. Yeah. How many Smokies are we into now with UT? Somebody was asking me the other day.
Doesn't Smokey live longer than Ugga?
Yeah, that breed is better because the Bulldogs have terrible like breathing issues and genetic things. Yeah. But anyway, and it's just you're living in Georgia, so it's no good.
Right.
I'm sorry, Georgia.
Sorry,
people.
Guys.
But what was I saying? Oh, so there's a little guy in R2-D2, and all the sounds are bleep, bloop, bleep. So it's all generated post and soundstage.
He's just riding along.
There's no reason for him to be in there. I'm coming at you, Lucas. I'm talking to you.
We're going to have to research this. I want to know about this.
Why did he need to be in there?
I want to know what he's doing in there.
Because there's servos. There's even back then there was remote, especially now.
Well, yeah.
If there's somebody still in R2-D2, I got problems. Abrams, get ahead of this. It's 2019.
Yeah.
Stop putting people in trash cans.
We're coming here on this podcast to talk about the important issues.
Right.
And I think you just hit on one.
Although maybe it's like that's the dream. Like, I got to be R2-D2 and he loves it, but...
Maybe he's just a volunteer. He was like, look, I know you don't need someone in there.
They're like trying to find anybody that could fit in there.
He said, can I just ride along and sweat and then
can you imagine how awful it was in there?
Wow.
I think I read something that he smoked, too. He would smoke
inside.
In there.
Yeah. Wow.
Can you imagine?
R2-D2 smoked.
That's the amplification of the cancer concern would be a lot.
If you're
you're in a can smoking.
Right. You're literally in the ashtray.
You're Prince Albert in a can. No. That's stupid. No, but that's a weird thing. So Star Wars people, we need answers on that. I'm sure Star Wars nerds are going to like hit us hard. Right. One of them who listens a lot is Josh Lehu, Mary Beth and Josh Lehu, who listen a lot. Josh would probably know the
Josh
answer.
Probably
well,
knows
he
this.
Had to be in the can because... But to me, it's like, no, he didn't, because you built a movie. You built the Millennium Falcon. Don't tell me you can't remote control a trash can that you're going to bleep bloop after in post sound. There's not need to be a person in there.
You are surprisingly worked up over this.
I'm really upset.
This is really pushing your buttons.
I think George Lucas is an abuser, and it's time he got called out.
You mean because...
And I'm not just saying that because of episode one. Which we know was garbage.
What a horrible, horrible episode.
The Phantom Menace needs to be wiped from the annals.
It does. I'm not so sure 1, 2, and 3 shouldn't be wiped. Though 3 had some redeemable qualities.
Yeah, that was the final Darth story. And
Yeah. And Samuel L. Jackson should have never been in that movie, in my opinion.
Yeah. I always love the conversation of, like, why they gave him the purple lightsaber. Like, I would just love to see him be like, oh, I get the purple lightsaber? That's what you're going to give me? I'm the Black Jedi. You're going to give me a purple lightsaber? Just the idea of him being upset about it.
He just plays the same character in every movie, and it just bugs me after a while. It's always the guy just screaming, mother effer.
He doesn't do that in Jedi, though.
That's the point. Like, it's the one movie ever where he's not playing...
He got to be a more reserved...
Yeah, but I just feel like his... Again, you could have picked... I mean, I'm trying to think here, you know... Put Denzel in there. You know what I'm saying?
No, come on. Denzel.
Give a little depth of character.
He's too cool.
Samuel L. Jackson is a one-tone character to me. He's like always playing that one all the time. He's yelling at you. I mean, I wanted somebody with depth, bro. And maybe you could have brought it out. So, I don't know. We appreciate you, though, going to deep places with us today. We spent a lot of time in some shallows today.
We put
Johnny.
You in a can and made you roll around and say bloop,
out.
Bloop.
Yeah.
But we will never do it again, and we're sorry.
But it does mean a lot to us when you share, when you let everybody else hear about what's going on, if you enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, share it out of offense.
Yeah.
And let them make their own decision.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Share it with enemies as revenge on
right.
them.
Right. Like, I can't believe you're going to hate this. You should listen so we can hate it together.
Yeah.
And then listen every week. Hey, you've listened for 75 episodes, so.
You're in it now.
You might as well.
It's kind of like when you started watching 90210.
Yeah.
And it started getting really bad, but you're like, but I need to find out what's going to happen with Brenda and Kelly and
exactly.
the gang.
What if Johnny and I are going to end our friendship in about another 5 episodes?
Yeah.
It's very possible. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What if we're going to have some huge fight, but we're going to record it just so you can hear it? You don't know what's going to happen. So you better keep listening and subscribing and let your friends know about it. But we do appreciate you. Follow Johnny and keep helping him build his Instagram following. You can follow me on Twitter if you want. It's John_Driver. I don't know who John Driver is on Twitter, but don't follow him because I cannot be held responsible for what he might say or post.
No.
So.
Or for what you might say.
Yeah, exactly.
Frankly.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Huh?
Talk about that.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.